On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt! Left field! Way back! Blue Jays win it!
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it!
It's
on!
It's on!
Here's a chance. That goal! Shot rebound! Score!
Hey, good listener. How's it going? Rob's over there.
Hey.
What do we got going tonight?
Just a little Waterloo Dark.
Oh, that's a good beer.
Yeah,
very nice. Very nice.
You like?
With the topical Borat reference.
Yes, timely.
Yeah. Why don't we start with...
My beard still tastes like your ass. It's another Borat reference. Oh. Come on, man.
Wow.
New record for show title?
Yeah. Crickets. Okay.
Would have thought I'd remember that.
Yeah. Or maybe not.
All right.
I'm uncomfortable with all this now.
It's your deal. Let's start with, because it was your thing. You wanted to talk about...
You know what I really want to talk about?
No.
Yeah, the once great...
Sex Baby.
Is... Yeah, Sex Panther. Is Paul Henderson Hall of Fame worthy for you?
Hockey Hall of Fame, yeah. Everybody is.
Yeah, see, I disagree.
Okay.
Hall of Fame moment, not Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, perennial 20-goal guy. In an era where everyone is scoring 70.
Yep. All right. I heard somebody on the ranting about how you, it's your patriotic duty.
Oh, to get him in there?
To get him in there.
Yeah. Huge moment. Like, this goes back to my thing has always been on Hall of Fame versus having your number retired.
Yep.
Every team can, like, the Sens, if they want to, and I'm just pulling this out because he's a popular guy here.
Yep. And Chris Neal. Yep.
You want to retire that guy's number? Do it. If the fan played here forever, Chris Phillips, right? Fans loved him. If you want to do that, go ahead. It's the same with Dougie and Wendell in Toronto. I don't really believe either of those guys are Hall of Famers, but they are loved in Toronto.
Yeah.
Let them have their night there. Let the organization do what they want to do.
Is it enough that the 72 team is already in?
That is enough for me. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all. It irritates me to hear somebody.
Because he was just a guy. He made the team, yeah. Had three straight, like, hell of an accomplishment. People always talk about the Game 8 winner, scored three straight game winners.
Yep.
Unreal. But no, he's just a guy.
Yeah, see, that is not enough to merit induction,
with that.
On, standalone induction.
Right.
3 days' work, not enough.
3 days. Forget your... lifetime of work to get to those 3 days.
No, I know, but you've already
right. Yes.
Yeah, you've already said the rest is fairly pedestrian.
Yes. You're right. I have. So yeah, no, Paul Henderson on his own merit, not a hockey Hall of Famer, and that's sad because as we've talked about before, it's a pretty low bar to clear.
Clark Gillies says, "Fuck you."
Oh, he's always saying that to me.
Yes.
Want me to punch that guy?
Yeah. I don't think you're taking Clark Gillies, not even today.
Oh, you just watch.
Yeah. I think, you know, a 60-year-old or 65-year-old Clark Gillies is still
older than that, too.
is still busting you up.
Nope. Taking Clark Gillies to the 30, fucking ground.
Let's see, 30. If he's 30 and 80, that makes him 68 now. Okay, yeah man.
Fucking him up.
I don't know, man.
Our new upcoming expanded studio may have to have a ring in it. A boxing ring or a wrestling ring in it.
Yeah? You like your chances?
Against Clark Gillies?
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
All right. You with the one strap on the singlet. I love it.
Who was it that you were going to fuck up? I don't know. Was it Brian Burke? Brian Burke was fucking you up.
You know what? I don't know who it is, but honestly.
You've had several.
There's a bunch.
Guys you were inviting to Rumble.
Well, and there was, used to be in minor hockey, you'd be like, I want a good fundraiser. I'd like to fight that dad. And you go, that would be a great fundraiser, wouldn't it? And you could actually build an undercard and go, because I know there's a bunch of other people who don't like other people. And you're like,
yeah,
let's do it. For charity or for fundraising.
Let's talk about...
I'm going to punch that guy out.
Oh! He's punching me out!
I'm halfway out!
The Chicago Blackhawks. You presented this to me when we were kicking around things to talk about. So I have really no idea what your...
Yeah, well, and it's really... Yeah, it's not a huge topic of discussion, but to me it's one of those things you ponder... Because they are in their downward spiral. Like, if you look at last year,
right,
half their roster was guys making $1 million or less.
Had to be, yeah.
Right, had to be because they got guys like Seabrook, Taves, Kane.
Keith, who's on actually a reasonable deal. But
6.5, I believe.
For what he once was.
Yeah, but he's got another 5 years. He's 35, I believe. Seabrook, Caves, and Tame both have 6 years left on those deals.
10-year deals or 8-year deals, whatever they were.
Right. And you were
looking and a half.
You were looking at, they are like, to me, Taves, he's only 30 or 31.
Yeah.
But a lot of indicators point to, he's going to be a 50-point guy.
There was a lot of guys and we joke about this all the time, and so don't worry, we're not going down this road, but no one likes to hear about other people's fantasy team, right? But you and I recently, a week and a half ago, did the draft for ours. There was a lot of guys that just sat there who, even 2 years ago, would have been gone in the first.
Getzlaff.
Jeff Carter, right? Like Jeff Carter last year came back from injury and was okay, but yeah, Getzlaff sat there forever, and I kept going... Maybe I should. No, I'm going to give it another round. And someone ended up taking him.
Sure, but
low,
like 12th, right? Like 12th round.
And there was a lot of guys like that. Like Duncan Keith later in the week got picked up off waivers because no one drafted him. He used to run that power play, right? Like it's there's just, and I think where you were kind of trying to take this was they're paying the bill now, right, for
the three cups.
A dynasty, if you want to call it. And I think that is now an NHL dynasty.
It absolutely
six years
is.
Or whatever it was.
And so the question I posed to you was, would you trade as a Hawks fan? So this is very hypothetical and we're both sort of...
Right.
And let's just say if you could flip it over and it could be the Leafs or you could be whatever.
Yeah.
Would you trade one of those cups to not have to go into this long, painful funk? Because you could trade Kane, I bet. I don't think you're trading.
No one's taking Taves.
You have Saad.
Yeah. And they desperately wanted back. We're getting the band back together.
Right. And he is, they've got him.
He's still young enough.
Yeah, for sure he is. But if he doesn't live up to that contract, right. Which.
Yeah.
In Columbus, you know, and then the last year in Chicago, not so much.
Right.
Right. And so there's another 3 or 4 years in the books with that guy. If that contract doesn't work.
Yeah.
You have some.
He's the one who's really fucking you.
Right. And you have some immovable contracts there, right? Just in terms of length, age, all those sorts of things,
yep.
Man.
Yep.
So they are in, you know, cap hell, cap purgatory. So would you trade one of those cups to not have to go through this painful stretch that they're going to have?
Nope. I was a fan of the best team in a generation. Had what we both just acknowledged is the closest thing the NHL can provide to a dynasty. And I understand now I got to pay the bill, right? And that's kind of how that goes. You don't get to be good forever anymore, right? It doesn't matter how good your management team is. And we've talked about this. My biggest beef with the cap is that it punishes the good teams more than the bad teams. You draft and you develop well, and eventually everyone else gets to take your shit because you were too good at your job.
Yeah.
I don't like it in that regard. And we've talked about what a possible way around it might look like. What do you get to 10% over the cap if it's your guy? What that looks like. But it punishes the good teams. The shit get to sit at the bottom and draft high and take other people's stuff on waivers. And they've always got cap, like Arizona. How many? They just sit there forever doing nothing and getting big fat checks from the top five or six teams to make sure they can reach the basement, right? I understand what you're saying. If I could keep two cups and maybe I have some flexibility right now under the cap to keep going. No, I think understanding the league, how it is and how this all works now, I think I would keep the third cup and understand that this is just, it's kind of like a great meal, right? You go out, you get a great steak, you've had a nice dessert, a couple of drinks, and then someone brings you the bill. Why am I buying food now? I'm not hungry now, right? Like
it's $100.
You just have to pay for it when you get there.
I didn't have $100 worth of good times.
Right. For me, no. I'm keeping that cup and just it is what it is.
And right? If you look at how well Stan Bowman did from the beginning, like they were jettisoning all like Versteeg, Bolin, Byfuglien,
all
Ladd,
that first one,
Sharp.
Right?
they start to
Versteeg, all these guys. Yeah, just, you're gone. Yeah,
and so they sort of because right after that first one, they were like, oh, we got to go through a bunch.
That's when Ladd left. That's when Buff left. Right, was off after the first one.
Yep.
I think even yeah, it was. It was Versteeg. The Leafs kept buying these guys.
Yeah, taking them in.
Yeah, the Leafs took Versteeg after to the 2010 Cup and went, man, he'd be a great first-line winger for us, even though he's a second-line winger for Chicago. Oh, that didn't work. Then they won in 2013. That fucking Boland guy, he'd be great here. Let's get that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's sucking again.
Yeah, and so they kept doing it, though.
Yep.
And again, Florida and Toronto were helping out with that because they were
awful.
Signing these guys on and taking them. And
yeah.
And I agree with you ultimately, right? This is a franchise who went almost 50 years between cups.
Yep.
And you go, I'm going to get 3 and 5 or 3 and 6, whatever it was. You're like, hell yeah, I'll take that. If I got to go another 10 before I can
compete again,
be competitive.
Well, and this is sort of the thing that it's been a debate around Leafs Twitter when they signed Tavares, when they are looking at right now having to deal with Nylander, having to deal with Marner, having to deal with Matthews. And there's people, you should trade him now so that you don't end up in the cap hell that the Blackhawks are in. Go, imagine wanting to avoid being the 2016 Blackhawks at the expense of being the 2010, 2013, and 2015 Blackhawks. Like, that's the bill you will have to pay. Not yet, right? Like, do it now and then understand that ultimately, if you're successful, yeah, you're going to go down hard, but be high first.
So what about flipping Nylander out? What about flipping him out for something if you could get a sturdy, rugged top four defenseman with cost certainty, maybe making $5 million over the next 5 years?
Yeah. I'll trade Nylander for a, as you said, cost controlled, right-handed top four defenseman who's, like I said, ours for a long time. Other than that, I don't want to hear about it. And I don't know what that name is.
But you know,
is Trouba extended, right? Is somebody like that? He's got to be young. He's got to be locked up. But I'm not doing it just to stay out of cap hell. Like, I'm trading Nylander for a like-contracted guy, right? Assuming you've signed Nylander. Which,
yeah. Well, you could probably get somebody like that, like a Morrissey or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And you'd get back, get a pick with that too.
Should be. So, but that's sort of the thing that's, well, look what's happened to Chicago. You can't go down the road. Yeah, but look what happened to them first.
Yeah. Like, and this is really, this is the end game of that, of the question, yeah. Right? Is, of course, the fat gravy years that you've just run off, 10, 13, 15.
Yeah.
Right? You go, yeah, it's all worth it. Right? Yeah. It's totally worth it.
It's been interesting to, you know, this is the first time in a very long time, and we can argue whether the Leafs are third favorite, sixth favorite, whatever, to win the cup, right? The only thing you can do is try and be in that group of contenders for as long as, because there is no guaranteeing a cup, right? Like last year when Washington won it, there was a pile of years where Washington was the favorite.
Yeah, they'd taken a step back.
Yeah.
They had lost a shit ton of guys the year before.
There was a bunch of years where the Sharks could have won it, right? And yep. Then apparently had taken a step back before getting to the final. There's so many things that are unpredictable. Just be in that group. Just stay in that group as long as you can. Because it's so hard to predict who the one, like, you can look at Tampa and go, should be their year. Who the fuck knows, right? But right. Just be in that group for as long as you can. And that's what Chicago's done.
And
right?
Speaking of which, did you see EA did their preseason simulator?
I didn't. I love when they do that, though.
Okay, so yeah, they run whatever it is a million times or whatever it is. And they,
yeah, you can just, you know, you update the rosters, make sure everything's up to date, and then you just allow the season to play itself through on the game. Yeah.
So they've come out with their 2019 Stanley Cup champions. And it is
the Winnipeg Jets,
Toronto Maple
Leafs. Hey, I've always loved you, EA. It's yeah. In the game.
It was Sharks Leafs in the Cup final.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, for sure. And so they have McDavid winning the scoring race.
That's a good call.
The Rocket Richard Trophy. Anyone?
Austin Matthews.
Patrick Laine.
Ooh, I like that too.
Yeah. But I think they did have Matthews at 50 goals.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's hogwash and rubbish.
Sure.
You know, last year EA did not predict that Washington would win.
No.
Or that Vegas would be in
no.
it. So it is what it is, right, in terms of, but for their Leaf fans out there.
Little hope.
50 goals for Matthews. I think they had Tavares at 100 points.
I want to just pull this back to you. I had the choice. Actually, turns out I didn't. But I was thinking at number four in our fantasy draft, I would probably be able to choose between Matthews and Tavares, and I was going to take one of them. And I decided, now someone took Matthews, I think, at three. But I had decided I would take Tavares because I was pretty sure he would get more points.
He's going to have more points.
I knew Matthews, I'm nearly positive Matthews will score more goals. They're both going to be on the same power play unit, it appears, all that kind of stuff. They'll feed off each other quite a bit. But I was pretty sure overall it was a better bet to take Tavares. Would you have made the same?
I would have taken Tavares as well.
Yeah.
Or Tavares.
It's interesting. Gord Miller, play-by-play guy, he's been talking that now that he's back here, he's got to say his name a whole lot more often. Said at the World Juniors in Ottawa, he went to him and asked him, how do you want me to say your name? And he told, John Tavares told him, Tavares. And he said, okay, so if you, we've seen the highlights from those World Juniors a pile of times, and it's Tavares. And so somewhere along the way, people started calling him Tavares and whatever, and now he's back here, and Gord Miller asked him again. He said, I don't really care. You can call me whichever one you want, but I'm going by Tavares.
And so, okay.
Gord Miller asked him, he said, do you remember in Ottawa when you told him? He goes, yeah, but it's somewhere along the line, my uncle or whatever, who's
his
a famous
uncle,
lacrosse player.
John yeah. Tavares.
Apparently he said, go by Tavares. Is how we're supposed to pronounce it?
Yeah.
So he said, I don't care what you call me, Tavares or Tavares, but to me it's Tavares now. So somewhere over the last decade he's changed
right.
his mind.
Right, and we were on here. We were on a different show because long before John Tavares, I was familiar with John Tavares.
Right.
Right, lacrosse player.
Yeah.
And, I found it interesting that two guys in the same family would pronounce it differently.
Well, apparently they're on the same page now.
Well, because clearly the uncle grabbed him by the ear. And
if you're going to be back here on my turf.
You get with the program.
I want to talk a little bit about the NL Cy Young race, which I probably at one point didn't think would be of all that much interest. But it's a – sorry, did you – seemed like you were about to interrupt.
No, that's, I was about to spill my drink on my
– That'd be a shame.
Yeah, on my shirt, and that's the noise you heard was me trying to wrestle it back.
So we have the two favorites from the Washington Nationals, Max Scherzer.
Not Scherzinger.
No. And from the New York Mets, is it Jacob DeGrom?
Jake DeGrom. Well, Jacob DeGrom, yeah. It's...
His dad calls him Jacob.
Yep. Jakob.
So.
Yahoo Silverberg. Say Yahoo Silverberg. Jakob.
The only reason this is of any interest is they both have areas that one is better than the other. They've both been straight up dominant. But Max Scherzer has a metric shit ton more wins playing
like,
for...
Like 18 or 19 wins, right?
Yeah, I think he's at 18. And last I saw, DeGrom was at 8 or 9, like right around 500. Now,
I think he finished at 8 and 9.
Yeah, that's my recollection as well. So both dominant pitchers, both with a ton of strikeouts.
DeGrom with a 1.71
That's
ERA.
Fucking dominant. And so you look at it and you say, I believe it was Scherzer who had given up more home runs.
Like but double, DeGrom, double the number of home runs.
Yes, but DeGrom had given up more hits. Now, I guess keeping him in the yard should mean something.
Yeah.
I Do you agree. Think if everything else was equal?
Scherzer with 277 strikeouts, too, I think, which is crazy.
Somewhat unrelated. This is the first ever season in Major League history where season-wide, league-wide, the season finished with there being more strikeouts than hits.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that earlier on in terms of people are just trying to golf it out now instead of trying to make contact.
That uppercut.
But, right. So if literally everything else was equal, I suppose you would look at wins as the next thing. But it looks like DeGrom has had the better season to me.
Well, he's got the better ERA.
Well, that matters, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
So the question we're wrestling with is, should the fact that someone has way more wins than you matter if you're on a worse team? And this, the reason it's interesting to me is we debated this around the NHL with Connor McDavid and the Hart Trophy and MVP and Taylor Hall. And to me, if DeGrom is the better pitcher, but his team was such ass that they couldn't help him in any way, this award is for the best pitcher, and he can win that. Whereas the Hart Trophy in the NHL is for most valuable. If your team stinks, you're of no value.
Can I play devil's advocate to that?
By all means, my friend.
See, I think there is no sport where one person can so dominantly affect the game than a starting pitcher in baseball. You got a guy who's dealing like Jacob DeGrom, right? There is no player in any other team sport that has a greater
only
to define the game.
I'd make is we'll see what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to do this year without LeBron, right? I think in the NBA, one guy can make.
No, I know, but I'm saying from day to day, DeGrom and then whoever's coming up for the Mets next.
Well, should have been like Syndergaard or whatever, right? But they were just awful.
Right. But so I'm saying is, as you're up there with your minuscule ERA.
So you're killing it. But your teammates aren't giving you any runs. You're not getting any wins. You're doing your job.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying because you are so dominant, as you suggest, that should be enough to win you more than you lose. The fact that he's either one game below or if he won that last game of the season and he finished at 500,
right.
You still do not have double-digit wins. To me, that is a huge black mark on your season.
I think we're starting to see as we get further and further down the road, things like wins are for pitchers and for goalies and for whatever are becoming less and less valuable, right, in terms of evaluating.
That's what the article said. I don't know if I agree.
Well, clearly you don't with your stance, and that's okay, but that's sort of the debate here. But
well, cause
if I throw a perfect game six times in a year and every single time my team doesn't get a hit and my bullpen blows it for me.
You losing 10?
Yeah, that ain't my fault, man, right?
Okay. Like, yeah.
And that's a little extreme, but I only control one side of this.
It is. But yes, and this is what I'm saying, though, is if you're – now, clearly at 8 and 9, he's had a bunch of no decisions in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so those are ones that could very easily go in that other category.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm with you. I do agree. There, you could go either way with these numbers.
Yeah.
To me, I'll take a little bump in the ERA, like to a 2.29 or whatever Scherzer is. I'll give up a couple more home runs, but I'll take all those strikeouts and I'll take all those wins.
Yeah. I think like these are both great dominant pitchers and I'm intrigued by the difference in perspective as I've watched Canadian broadcasters talk about it, because I was staunchly last year against Connor McDavid being MVP. But that's the type of award. The Ted Lindsay voted on by the players for the most outstanding player, that was absolutely Connor McDavid, but he was not most valuable. So when you look at this award, which is for the best pitcher, not the winningest pitcher,
yep,
I think you can make a strong case that it doesn't matter how trash my team is around me, I was the best pitcher, not necessarily most valuable pitcher.
Yep. Well, and I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
There's an argument to be made for sure. And it's what makes it so interesting is that he's a sub-500 pitcher.
Yeah. You got anything else on this, or should we move along to our last?
Yeah, no, I'm good. And to me, I don't have a dog.
Yeah, I enjoy the debate. Let us know at Talkin' Audio on Twitter. What do you think? Do you have to get some wins? Do you got to make the fucking playoffs? What's your stance to win a Cy Young? Can you give it to a guy below 500? Because that's the real question here. We've never seen this before, right? Where, you know, maybe the best pitcher in the league had a 15-12 record or something, right? We've never seen a guy be that good and sit at 8 and 9.
Right, and they cited Felix Hernandez in 2010, I think, or in that range.
I believe that's right.
Beat out
Sabathia.
And Price.
Price.
Right, those are the two guys behind him who had way better win totals.
Yeah.
Right, but again, Hernandez had all those other things, but he was not below 500.
That's right. I wanted to ask you briefly about if your team wasn't playing. I want to kind of take a look around the NHL. What am I really interested in? What is it that I find fascinating? Whether it's a season-long storyline, whether it's just I love watching this guy play.
I love the nightlife. I love the boogie.
Boogie.
On the disco go round. Oh, yeah.
If your team's not playing and you've got the TV to yourself and masturbation has lost its appeal, let me know.
Yeah. Really? Do you want me to let you know?
No, I'd really, you know what? Stick around. It'll be on one of these shows.
Yeah. There's chafing.
You guys. There's I no longer feel the, anyway. You have control of the television. Everybody's playing. There are a couple of teams you want to see. What do you want to watch, right? Who's standing out to you? What do you want to flip to?
So clearly we are taking our two teams
out
of it.
I can't watch the Leafs. You can't watch the Sens.
Yeah, first thing I want to do.
You shouldn't want to watch the Sens.
When we're talking about, you know, your team not involved, is I want to see somebody else lose. That to me is my strongest.
Yeah.
Drive,
right?
So this year, I would love to see Toronto lose, right? So to me, that is the driving force.
Right.
Probably, right? I want to tune in to see, you know, a Pittsburgh-Toronto game, right?
Sure.
I'm suddenly a strong Penguins supporter.
Yeah. Go right? Phil.
Yeah, never before. I'm a Capitals fan, right? Whatever it is.
Sure, yeah.
I want to see that. So first
weird that I whoever's playing the Sens did not make my list.
Yeah, well, okay, and I get that, right?
Down and kickable right now.
Yeah, and terrible.
Yeah.
Right, so...
I get your stance, right?
I also like to see the Habs get whistled, yeah. And I'll take great joy in that.
Right.
No matter what else happens, right? So that's the first thing I want to see.
Sure.
Beyond that, I want to see a team that I don't hate, which are...
Yeah, wow.
Probably Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton has made
Boston.
its way into that. Yeah, Boston. I'm hot and cold on Boston.
Okay.
Yeah. So if it's not somebody I hate, and hate's a strong word, I get it. I want to see entertaining hockey.
Not strong enough. Right? Well, that's what this is about, right?
I want to see
teams are watchable.
I want to watch Winnipeg. Right. To me, they're must-see TV. I'm interested as hell in what's happening. In San Jose.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued to see what Vegas is going to do when you look at, that's a team. I know we both had them in third.
Yep.
Really removed very little off their lineup, added Stastny and Pacioretty. It's an interesting little thing they got going on out there.
Yeah. To me, I have San Jose on my list as well, but I wonder if it's not one that after 10 or 12 games goes away.
For sure it will, and that's the West Coast thing.
Well, it's also, okay, he's one of them now, right? I want to see what that power play looks like with him and Burns and those guys up front. I want to see how that's all going to settle in. We are talking about one of the preeminent players in the league moving. You don't see that all that often. So I'm interested in the Sharks, but I think at some point it'll just be, okay, it's the Sharks instead of how's Carlson fitting in.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
I want to watch the Oilers. I think... the most watchable player in the league by any measurable, you know, unit is Connor McDavid. Whether or not they're going to drown around him or whether he's going to drag them kicking and screaming into a playoff spot.
Ty Ratty, baby.
No one has ever said that before, ever.
All the time, baby.
I want to see what that's going to look like, both because I find him super entertaining and because I think it's going to be a fascinating season long, or at least... until February storyline, yeah, depending
how
that goes.
How much Louis DeBrusque can you handle, though?
Not a lot. I'm going to have to watch the road broadcast.
This is it, right?
But to me, they are at the top of the list for me. If the Oilers are playing, I'm going to see what that looks like. I'm sort of with you. I'm getting to a point for some reason where I'm rooting against the Oilers, but it's their management. It's their fan base. It's whatever.
It's how obnoxious... our Western correspondent aside, love you, man.
Who's extra obnoxious.
Yeah. But no, it's the rest of them with their whole entitled City of Champions things. You haven't won shit.
Could you just acknowledge that giving this KHL goalie a no-move clause was not a good idea, right? Like, it's little things like, it's not you. You don't suck. Could you get on board with the rest of us that Peter Chiarelli sucks? It doesn't have to be a personal slight to you to admit your management is awful. That's sort of why I'm rooting against the Oilers.
And has for 30 years.
Forever. Tampa, I want to watch just because they're going to be probably the biggest rival for my team this year. But also because that team is just so stacked, right? And you're now moving into the first full season with McDonough, with JT Miller. Is Vasilevsky going to be able to repeat what he did? Will they spread his starts out a little better so he's not... I mean, he was fine at the end, but he had clearly fallen off a little.
Well, and is Point going to continue to evolve?
Yeah.
And is Yanni Gourde going to be able to replicate what he did?
Is Anthony Cirelli, former Oshawa General, right? What kind of rookie year is he going to have? That's of interest to me. So... just in terms of teams I want to watch, that's one for me. I don't know if I'm following you on the Jets. I know they're going to be very good, and I know Line A is going to be, like we talked about, I don't remember if it was on this one or a previous show, but may push up against 50 goals this year, if not pass it.
I think that was just 5 minutes ago on this show.
All right. Well, you know what, Matt? Whatever.
I love that you're engaged, though.
Yeah. Playing Fortnite over here.
I was spraying my thumb.
There's just not a lot of, you know, who else is on that list? Maybe Nashville. Just their crowd's kind of interesting. That defense core, right? And now they've added Dan Hamhuis to the third pair, who isn't on the level of those other four, but as a third pair guy, yeah, holy fuck.
He is a nice stopper down there.
Yeah,
at the end.
Yeah. To me, those are probably, it's Tampa, it's Edmonton, it's San Jose. I am intrigued, like you, a little bit by Vegas. They've added two major pieces, like you said, in Pacioretty and in Stastny. That'll be intriguing. I'm probably supposed to be taking joy in watching the Habs and Sens get kicked around. I just don't really care.
Yeah. Right? Like, oh, I get it. If I were you, I would be.
I get that. You did it for a long time.
Yeah. Right? Well, but, and again, because I'm one of those people that take more joy in somebody else's suffering, I think, than.
But I'll get that joy out of just seeing the score. And, like, there's just nothing there I really want to watch, right? I don't need to see it happen. It's going to be bad hockey.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
Totally get it. So there's nobody else that you think is going to, short of Edmonton, which has the possibility of you being able to watch McDavid play.
Yeah.
And the team, as you suggest, sink around him. Right, to me, you don't have a team that you think is going to be a train wreck that you're sort of wishing and wanting to see fail, underachieve.
Yeah. Well, I hate the Bruins, but to me, their failure will be finishing fourth instead of third, like we said in terms of the preview shows, right? I had the Panthers in third. I don't see me sitting down and watching a lot of Bruins versus whatever, Rangers or...
Yeah, no, there's not much there.
Early on, a little bit like the Sharks and Carlson, I'm interested in what Dahlin might do and what that Sabres team might look like. I hate those guys too. I wouldn't mind seeing that blow up.
With Captain Jack?
Captain Jack, yeah. New Captain Jack, GM Jack, Coach Jack, whatever's going on there.
Owner Jack.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. To me, those are sort of the ones that jump out to me. In terms of least watchable, like I'm never turning that on, it might be the Sens, man. They're gonna be bad. I don't know, like there's just not a lot there that I want to see. Even if, like, Anaheim, I sort of expect Anaheim to be pretty good, but there's nothing there I really want to watch, right, in terms of it being exciting, in terms of, look, can't miss that guy. I still think they'll probably make the playoffs once they get healthy, but I don't care, right? Like, there's nothing exciting there.
Well, it's like the Columbus factor, right?
The Columbus is a great one. I'm not watching the Blue Jackets. I don't give a shit. I know they're good, but there's nothing there I care about.
Well, you see some places, some prognosticators have Columbus finishing as high as second in the division.
Ahead of Pittsburgh or Washington? Because opening night would suggest Washington's ready to rock.
Yeah.
I think you and I both picked Pittsburgh to finish
first. We did. And I think they were having them in front of Pittsburgh, which I don't see.
Idiots.
What do these people know making their living?
They don't have a podcast.
Who does? Really?
Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of a, you know, what might be worth checking out. And to me, for better or worse, it's the Oilers.
Well, and really...
And the Lightning.
I'd love to hear what the good listener thinks.
That'd be awesome.
Right? What are the teams you want to see? Good or bad?
Take your own out of it. You don't get to watch your team. Who do you want to see? Whether it's because you think they're exciting, whether it's because you want to see them go down in flames, whatever it might be, let us know. On Twitter, at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. By the way, in case you've missed it, last week, we put up a new show on Patreon just for our patrons. You can jump on there at patreon.com/TallCanAudio and support the show and get some bonus audio out of that as well.
A little bonus audio goes a long way. No?
Yeah.
All right.
It goes away.
I was just going to say, you're selling it, baby. Sell it.
Yeah, we're selling a lot of stuff, man. The archives are at TallCanAudio.com. And I guess we'll see you all in the next one.
See ya. Cutting off my seat.
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.